Amen. That's what fellowship is all about. I'm still singing that song, I won't complain. Now some of y'all gonna be going out of church talking about I won't complain, then when the devil hits you,
why did it happen to me?
Remember you said I won't complain. Amen. Amen. Thank you, men's chorus. Thank you, T, and thank you so much, Diane and Vicky, for the service that you all are giving. It's making a difference. And that's the whole point of our Christian service. It is making a difference in the lives of people, and we just have to believe that. Can I just say this to you? Faith is not just saying, I'm going to pick up the Bible and I'm going to read it. When you really trust God, your faith creates a future reality. Are y'all listening? It creates a future reality of what could happen if you trust God's word. Now let me talk to the folk over here. Did y'all hear that? See, you got all these things that are happening in your life. You got all these situations that are going on that you can't change. But if you would take God at his word and begin to speak by faith, God, I'm trusting you to change my environment. I'm trusting you to change the situation. And if you don't change it, change me. Are y'all listening? You got to believe that he can do it. And you got to believe that he will do it because he loves you. You serve a great God. Amen. You serve a great God. And he cares deeply about you. Amen. So when you go out in life, just don't accept what the devil gives. Start quoting God's word and believing that God can make it happen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. All right. A couple of things we want to just bring to your attention. First of all, we do have a recording going on of our services. And some of you all noticed some partitions out there. That's so that the people can kind of have some privacy in what they're doing. So while they're recording for people out there, because it's not just Crossroad in here, but it's Crossroad Online. And we're making provision for that. So bear with us for a little while until we find, you know, the solutions that we need. We're trying things in order for it to work. Amen? All right. Second thing is men's fellowship at White Oak Grove on June 15th. All the men that plan to go, you need to sign up today because we got to give an account, or give account rather, to Pastor Glenn Faulkner. And if you can let Deacon Freddie Pleasants know that you're planning on going, and that's all you need to do right now. Just say, hey, I'm planning on going. The bus is going to leave somewhere around 7:15 or 7 o'clock. It'll be leaving to go down to Dry Fork. So we're asking all the men that plan to go, please let Deacon Pleasants know so he can get your name on the list and we can give an account to Pastor Glenn Faulkner. Amen? That's going to be at White Oak Grove on June the 15th, and it begins at 8 a.m. and it goes to 12. I will be the guest speaker there. And so we'll be leaving early in the morning, heading down there. Amen? All right. Third thing, we have an ordination for our deacon candidates, Mr. James Jones and Mr. LeVern Marshall. That's going to be taking place on June the 3rd at 3 p.m., the first Sunday in June at 3 p.m. And the guest speaker is Pastor Vincent Jones. He'll be the guest speaker for that event, asking all of our members to come out and support that program at 3 p.m. on the first Sunday in June. Amen? All right, and T's already mentioned about the new members fellowship. So we'll be having that right after this service. If you're a new member and you want to come back downstairs, you know, you can still come. We will welcome you to come. Amen? That's going to be right after this service. All right, get your Bibles turned to Acts chapter 12. Acts 12, we're looking at verse number 1. Now, about that time, Herod, the king, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter, the Passover that is, to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. I want to talk just a few minutes about problems, persecution, and prayer. Problems, persecution, and prayer. I know some of you all are wondering how those things fit, but I want to share with you today how that your problems, everybody say problems. Anybody got any? Are y'all good? Oh, you don't, you? All right. Peggy, she raised her hand, Reverend, okay. Problems. Those things in life that present us with a challenge. Problems. Persecution. Those things that happen to us by others or our environment that causes harm. But prayer, that's your way out. That is your way out. I'm going to show you. To this world, that you would be free from care. This world, as Job tells us in Job 14, it has hardships. Man that is born has a few days, and those days are, he didn't say have some trouble, he said full of trouble. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Full of trouble. But he also said, I know that my Redeemer lives. That's what you got to go on today. That's what you got to depend on. As you look at these problems and these persecutions and things that are happening, I know there's some people that's joining us online saying, well, you don't know my situation. No, I don't, but I know mine. I can tell you what, I've had my share of ups and downs, and if I keep living, I'm going to have some more of them. But that's okay. Because God has given us this wonderful gift called prayer. Prayer is not a release from the things that happen around us. Prayer prepares you to deal with them in an effective way. When you go on your knees, you're really requesting God to act on your behalf and to bring you through some of these things that you're facing. I'll share that in just a minute. But we got to recognize that God has something in the trial, in the struggle, that he wants us to learn, that otherwise, if we didn't have that challenge, it's not going to help us in God's plan for improvement of our life. Our thing is, we want sunny days. We want a few clouds speckled in the sky that will just let us know life is good. How many of y'all really know that storms come? And I'm not talking about storms that you can get an umbrella. The last thing you want to do in a lightning storm is get an umbrella. Not a good idea. But you do want shelter, you do want refuge, you do want some place that you can go and cast all your cares upon the Lord because you know that he cares for you. I'm going to suggest to you a couple of things that's going to sound absurd today, but one of them is there's a good side of suffering. Boy, that was quiet in there. You could hear a pin drop. And I know some of y'all online going, what did he say? There is a good side of suffering. I don't necessarily say that the suffering is good. As a matter of fact, you do not take pleasure in suffering unless you're one of these weird kind of people. It's painful. It hurts. Life hurts. The things that hit you, they hurt. To lose loved ones, to endure sickness, to have financial trouble and you don't know where you're going to find your answer. Those things in life hurt. But if you can persevere, if you can keep moving through that time of darkness, God is going to show you some things that's absolutely incredible about himself. He's going to reveal his glory. He's going to show his power. But more importantly, he's going to build you up. Amen. Let's look into this today as we see these verses. And one of the favorite verses that I have in the Bible, not the favorite, but one of them, is Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. What does that verse say to us? I think a lot of it hinges on the fact of knowing something, possessing a deep knowledge about something that can help you when you're going through that struggle. Here's what we should know. First of all, a believer should know that no matter what the problem may be, you will not be abandoned by God Almighty. That's the first thing we should know. You should know that God is going to help you, that he's going to train you through that process. Because when you're going through the trial, here is God teaching you not how to walk by yourself, but to also walk in the Spirit. Amen. We talk about the Holy Spirit. We talk about God's guidance. But here we go, ladies and gentlemen. When you are facing that struggle, when you are going through that crisis in your life, here's what God does. He walks with you and he tells you, walk uprightly. Follow me. Walk beside, depend on my strength. Do not lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge me. You're being trained. You're being trained. Who would have confidence in a soldier if he has on the uniform, but he's never gone through any training? Let me see the hands of military people that have, former military. You've been in the military. And you all know this thing called basic training. You were there for 6 weeks, 8 weeks. You know, Air Force was only 6 weeks. Army, Marine Corps, I'm sorry, y'all, you know. But anyway, the point is you want that soldier to be well trained to understand what it is to be in a conflict and to be able to handle that conflict in an effective way. That's why you're trained. Then they go on and they go to tech school. They go to some other more formal training so that now you're trained for a specific task. Not just the basic, but you're now trained for a specific task. That's what God is doing with his army. Notice I said his army, which has already made the declaration that you're going to be in a fight. Now, why are we picked out for battle? Because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion. If you're not trained, you won't know how to handle that lion. Are y'all here? So God is saying, I want to train you. I want to train you. And then the second thing that we talk about is that God will never abandon us. He made that promise, not me. He said, wherever you go in life, I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. I will always be there. So all you got to do when you're going through these times and you don't quite understand what's going on, God, why am I facing this? Why am I going through this issue in my life? And what God the Holy Spirit will do, he will start whispering to you, here's where you are. Here's what you need to do. And then God says something very precious. He said, hold my hand. I'm going to show you how to walk through this. I'm going to show you, in the words of that song, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. How many of y'all believe that today? All right, so we know that we'll never be abandoned. We know that we're in the training. But what if we're like Peter and the rest of the disciples? All of a sudden, you find that King Herod, who's on some ego trip, wants to now assault the church. Church didn't do anything except be the church. Now you're being assaulted because you're talking about this Jesus of Nazareth, that he's raised him from the dead. They could not prove one charge that the church didn't pay their taxes. They didn't do their civic responsibilities. This gave Herod an opportunity to improve his ratings among the Jews. Go back and read it. He also wanted to have some status with Rome. So, hey, if you can handle any uprising and all of these things in your kingdom, we'll let you stay in power. So he's saying to them, hey, you know, I'm the man now. He reached out and he killed James, one of the leaders of the church. He also arrested Peter, intending that after the Passover, he's going to put him to death also. Now, what was that strategy all about? Hey, if you kill the head, the body will die. If I take care of the leaders, if I get them out of the way, now I don't have to worry about anything else with this movement. It will just diminish. It will just come to naught. That's what he thought. But he didn't realize that messing with God's children is like poking God in the eye. He didn't know that if you mess with God's children, you are messing with God himself. He didn't realize that. Did the Lord say, well, no, I'm not going to let y'all, you know, we're just going to get y'all out of the way. No, he allowed the church to go through that. He's allowing you to face some of these challenges in life because God's getting ready. Can I go country on you? God is fixing to tell you something. He's getting ready to show you something that you've never seen about him, nor have you seen about yourself. Two things you need to know before you engage in battle. You better know your enemy, and you better know yourself. When you know who the enemy is and why you're engaged in fighting, then you can discover that my strength did not come from me. My help came from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So he brings you to this battle. He brought the church to this time of crisis. What is he going to do? He's going to guide them into greater service. I'm going to go ahead and give you the punchline to this whole thing, because as a result of this, Peter was able to launch out into a different area, preaching the gospel, making other disciples. That was God's plan in the beginning. But they had gotten kind of comfortable in Jerusalem, you know, finding a couple palm trees and some you know, lemonade, and sit back in the shade. Say, man, life is good. We have service once a week, and we just kind of give back, and the rest of it, man, God is so good, isn't he? Give me some more lemonade. But it upsets us when we don't have things stable in our lives. Now we've got to depend on God because we don't know what the next step is going to bring. As a matter of fact, from the indication, the church went into prayer mainly because they were afraid. They were afraid. Three things that happen when you're in a battle. You're going to fight, or you going to flight, or you just going to fright, afraid, pass out. You're not a possum. By the way, a possum, reason why you think they're asleep, but really when a circumstance or situation happens, they just kind of pass out. You heard the saying, playing possum? A lot of y'all, that's what you do. Faced with a conflict, And some of y'all, don't touch me. I float like a butterfly, sting like a... Am I right?
You can't fight your way out of everything.
And you certainly can't run away. So a lot of people just got a problem. Let's just run away. Well, let's just hide. Let's just go to our little hangout. Let's just get into our habit. Let's just go back to what we've been doing. Let's just do nothing. That's not the church. It's not what we're called to. God has called us for more. God has called you for more. You're going to discover a strength that you didn't realize before. Right in the middle of your problem, you're going to discover that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Am I helping some of you today? Lord knows I'm preaching to myself. Amen. You know, as Les Brown, the motivational speaker, used to say, you're going to get two whippings in life. Two kinds of whippings, two kinds of whippings. What are the two kinds of whippings? One whipping is, just let me go. I had enough. I don't want no more. But then when you got whipped and you knew that you could have beat that situation, you could have overcome that hardship, you could have gone through that storm, and you somehow or another you lost the battle, the second kind of whipping you had, just wait till I get back. This little boy went out with his friend. He was wrestling. And this bigger boy wrestled him down to the ground. And little boy, he got up. He cried. He didn't say, I had enough. He said, I'm going home, and I'm going to eat me some stuff. And when I come back, I'm going to beat you. No matter what happens, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to find that there is a greater power in you, and you cannot find it apart from prayer. So let me minister to you. Let me just tell you a few things today. Do not let your problems from the exterior control what's going on in the interior inside of you. Let your Christ, your Lord, let your God become bigger than everything else, because obviously he really is. You just got to trust him. You just got to find out that that power now dwells in you. And you get through it to the gate of prayer. Get to it through the great gate of prayer. The last thing about it is that prayer is God's answer. Say that with me. Prayer is God's answer. Well, what is that going to do for me? I'm going to show you in just a few minutes. So here it is. When we look at prayer, we got to think about praying to God and calling upon his name. As one of the psalmists said, I thank God. And Paul says, I thank God whom I serve my forefathers with a pure conscience, and that I have remembrance of you in my prayer. Praying for one another. What's the church doing? They are praying for Peter. He's been arrested. They know the outcome, that the plans of Herod is to really take his life. And if he can take his life, then he'll succeed with his plan. But they're saying, no. God's got a better plan. And what you got to whisper to yourself is that God's got a better plan for me. This thing that I'm going through right now is not going to take me down. Yes, I'm crying. Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I'm upset, but I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up on God. I'm not going to give up on myself, because I know that every day he gets me up out of my bed, I got another chance. How many of y'all woke up this morning? How many of you said to yourself, I got Jesus on my mind? Notice the church did not gather for two of the favorite parties that a lot of churches like to engage in. What are those parties? One is a pity. They didn't engage in the pity, feeling sorry for themselves. You cannot allow those things to become your total conversation, because then you will not be confessing Christ. You confess what you believe. And as you confess that, they got together and they encouraged one another. I want us to have an atmosphere of encouragement. I encourage you in the Lord. Look at somebody next to you. You ain't talked to them since you've been in church. Look at them and tell them, I encourage you in the Lord. Look at somebody else. Tell them, I encourage you. This is an environment of encouragement. The world's going to tell me I'm a loser. The world's going to tell me I don't have this and I can't do this. The world's going to offer that stuff. We don't need that in here. It's called a pity party. You say, what's the other party? The other one is a petty party. Allowing small stuff become big stuff. Dominates the conversation. I didn't like what they were wearing today. So what? I start telling you, look at your neighbor and tell them, get out of that petty stuff. They don't say anything. You getting ready to make somebody mad at you. But my point is that when the church engages in what we call prayer, you are talking to God and you're also perking up your ears and your spirit saying, God, speak to my heart. Let me know your will. Let me know your plan that you have for this thing that we're going through right now. They were talking to God and they were realizing that God is a good God. It's all right to praise him. It's all right to praise him. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Isn't that what he said? But here's our reaction when we get into petty stuff. How dare them talk about M.E.? Well, if he said it was good, why are you messing up your blessing? Y'all got quiet on me, didn't you? But in the world, you'll have persecution. In the world, you'll have tribulation. In the world, you're going to have these struggles. But you are not of the world. You're of Christ. And if they pierced his hands, they're going to throw darts at you. They're going to throw stuff at you. And you got to be brave enough to say, Lord, I'm going to stand because you told me to stand. That verse that says that Peter was kept in prison. But notice the church engaged in prayer. We got to have these church meetings and these prayer meetings to where we say, God is first. Everything else is secondary. And because God is first, he did not bring us this far to leave us now. I believe if he won in the past, he can win in the future because he's the eternal God. And because he walks with me and talks with me, I know that God will always be there to help me fight my battle. When you start taking on that encouragement in yourself, you're saying, you know what? I'm going to get up and I'm going to live another day because guess what? The devil might have got me down yesterday, but I'm back up today. How many of y'all ever watched this little thing? It's called, we used to have them when I grew up. They call this little bag that